Great. Sarah. Is that all? Are you really thinking about joining the choir?
No.
I was just thinking some mind control might help. All right. Let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the only sovereign who dwells in light, Christ Jesus who came to save sinners, the Holy Spirit who lives within us.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of overflowing grace, we come to you with repentant hearts. Forgive us for shallow thankfulness. Forgive us for passing by the ones in need. Forgive us for setting our hopes on fleeting treasures. Forgive us our neglect and thoughtlessness. Bring us home from the wilderness of sin and strengthen us to serve you in all that we do and say. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is joy in heaven over every sinner who repents. By the grace of God in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us all, your sins are forgiven and you are made free. We are home in God's mercy, now and forever. Amen. Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace and grant us the treasure that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you. And you know what? That's pretty scary. When you have that special light, whether it's a candle or a flashlight, but a candle, especially we're talking about today, but you know what? Doesn't that make you feel so much better? Because it's not so dark and spooky anymore, is it? Well, can you think of other times when you use it?
A reading from Amos. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory, and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock, and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. The word of the Lord.
Shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angel to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated. Two ladies were visiting one evening, and one of them took out a candy dispenser that was shaped like a miniature human. "How does that thing work?" the other one asked. And the first one turned the figure's arm to pop some candy out. "Oh, I see," the other lady said. "It's a lot like my husband. You have to twist his arm to get anything out of him at all." Now, I don't think that's the best joke I've ever told. But I do think it gets us pointed in the right direction. Let me put it this way. Recently, I encountered one writer who made an interesting observation. "In our world today," he wrote, "we've become very family-oriented. The problem is we are all about other people's families." He went on to comment on the number of reality TV shows that are so popular that are all about other people's families. "Over the years, we've watched Duck Dynasty, who knows how many Kardashian shows, wives from one zip code or another, and more. We like to spy glass at the inner workings of family relationships that we can keep at arm's length." Well, that's exactly where the rich man kept Lazarus too, at arm's length. You know this story well. The rich man feasted sumptuously every day at an all-you-can-eat buffet, but Lazarus sits at his gate hungry with nothing. The rich man wears expensive cloth of purple. Lazarus makes do with rags. It's an intriguing image. Inside is the rich man, full, well-dressed, and comfortable, and to all appearances in good standing with God. And outside is Lazarus, destitute, hungry, clothed in rags, and seemingly as far from God as one can get. And in between them is the gate. But then, as Jesus' story goes on and both of them die, we suddenly discover that the roles have been reversed. Now the rich man suffers outside while Lazarus rests and feasts. And if we're paying attention, then right about then, we've got to ask a question. Why did the rich man end up in hell? There's no indication that he ever beat Lazarus or kicked him or spit at him.
There's no indication that the rich man ever did anything to Lazarus. He didn't do a thing. But you see, that's just the problem. He didn't do a thing. He didn't do a thing while Lazarus starved just outside his gate. He didn't care. He didn't act. He kept Lazarus at arm's length. And when Abraham talks about that chasm between them and heaven, you can't help but think about the rich man's gate on earth, the one he never crossed to give help to the sick and dying Lazarus. He didn't do a thing. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we don't do much either. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be different, to actively search, to actively give, and actively love. We're called to care. We're called to act. Now, I've told this story before, but I think it's worth hearing often. It's a story of a man who dreamed that he had died. And first in his dream, he went to hell. There he found all the people seated at a sumptuous banquet table. The table was covered with delicious meats and breads and Karen's desserts. But then he noticed that the people seated at the table had no elbows. Their arms couldn't bend, and so there was no way for any of them to eat any of the food before them. And the man thought, this is hell indeed. Next, in his dream, the man found himself in heaven. To his surprise, he found those in heaven sitting before a large banquet table too. And this table also was filled with sumptuous foods. And like in hell, the people seated at the table had no elbows. And yet there was laughter and joy and great feasting. For in heaven, each one fed the person across from him. What a striking difference between heaven and hell. And if we are to make our world more like heaven, then we can't keep people in need at arm's length. No, we are to take our arms, reach out to them in compassion, pull them close in welcome, and embrace them in love. After all, that's what Jesus did. For us, he stretched out his arms, and he died. Oh, make no mistake, there are people all over our world. There are people far away. There are people right next to us who are hurting, aching, pleading, dying for someone to care. God's love has been given to us so generously, and we know it best when we give it away to others. We can't keep them at arm's length. We can't live behind our gates. In the face of a hurting world, our job is to act. As Preston reminded us, it's the call we all received in our baptisms. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty God, your majesty exceeds our imaginations. With all our hearts, we sing your praise and give you honor. Now inspire our faith and transform our lives that we might live out our worship every day. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us, gracious Savior, for the many ways we fail to be your children, for the wrongs we have done, for the good we have failed to do. Forgive us. We count on your mercy, O God. Lift us in your love and be with us as we start again. Lord, in your mercy, God of comfort and compassion, be with our brothers and sisters who are in need. Heal the sick, console those who mourn, change the lives of the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, and the alone. Be with all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O God, we thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the saving grace of Jesus. Thank you that you have given us a church home which welcomes us and feeds us in your name, but also calls us forth in mission and in service. Give us generous and willing hearts in response to your grace. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy,
God, our bread of life, our table and our food, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life. You fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me."
And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. We come again to you, O God, giving you thanks that in this feast of mercy you have embraced us and healed us, making us one in the body of Christ. Go on us with our way, equip us for every good work, that we may continue to give you thanks by embracing others with mercy and healing. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.